Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast family, welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast. This is the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and this is Nurse Carmen. And again, thank you for tuning in. And next, we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you once again for tuning in tonight. I just want to just talk about or just remind us of the fact of what we're doing here as we become awoken to just who it is that we are, as we work harder to be more like God, to be more representative of just how awesome we are. I want us to know that we have to be a light unto the world and hurt it not. We have to seek to build, not to destroy. We have to work to bring God's people home. And when I say bring God's people home, all I mean is home to the knowledge of who it is that God really is. But be by your shining examples, seek only goodness, speak only in truthfulness, act only in love, live the law of love now and forevermore. Give everything, require nothing. Avoid the mundane. Do not accept the unacceptable. Teach all who will seek to learn of God. Make every moment of your life an outpouring of love. Use every moment to think the highest thoughts, say the highest words, do the highest deeds. In this, glorify your holy self, and thus too, glorify God. Bring peace to the earth by bringing peace to all of those whose lives you touch. Be peace. Feel and express in every moment your divine connection with the all and with every person, place, and thing. Embrace every circumstance. Own every fault. Share every joy. Contemplate every mystery. Walk in every man's shoes. Forgive every offense, including your own. Heal every heart. Honor every person's truth. Adore every person's God. Every person's right. Preserve every person's dignity. Promote every person's interest. Provide every person's needs. Pursue every person's holiness. Present every person's greatest gift. Produce every person's blessing. And pronounce every person's future secure in the sure love of God. Be a living, breathing example of the highest truth that resides in you. Speak humbly of yourself. Ye someone mistake you highly toast for a bros. Speak softly, lest someone think you are merely calling for attention. All might know of love. Speak openly, lest everyone thinks you have something to hide. Speak candidly, so you cannot be mistaken. Speak often, so that your words may truly go forth. Speak respectfully, that no one be dishonored. Speak lovingly, that every syllable may heal. Speak of God with every utterance. Make of your life a gift. Remember always, you are the gift. Be a gift to everyone who enters your life and to everyone whose life you enter. Be careful not to enter into another's life if you cannot be a gift. That's important. Be careful not to enter another's life if you cannot be a gift. You can always be a gift because you always are the gift. Yet, sometimes you don't let yourself know that. When someone enters your life unexpectedly, look for the gift that person has come to receive from you. What an extraordinary way of putting it. Why else do you think a person has come to you? I tell you this, every person who has ever come to you has come to receive a gift from you. In doing so, he gives a gift to you, the gift of your experience in fulfilling who you are. When you see this simple truth, when you understand it, you see the greatest truth of all. For God said, I have sent you nothing but angels. So then the question might be, I'm confused. Can we go back a bit? There seems to be some contradictory data. I felt that you are saying that sometimes the best help we can give people is to leave them alone. Then I feel you are saying never fail to help someone if you see that person needs help. These two statements seem to be at odds. Well, let me clarify your thinking on this. Never offer the kind of help that disempowers. Never insist on offering the help you need, you think is needed. Let the person or people in need know all they you have to give. Then listen to what they want. See what they are ready to receive. Offer the help that is wanted. Often, the person or people will say or exhibit by their behavior that they just want to be left alone. Despite what you think you'd like to give, leaving them alone might be the highest gift you can offer them. If at a later time something else is wanted or desired, you will be caused to notify if it is yours to give. If it is, then give it. Yet strive to give nothing which disempowers. That which disempowers is that which promotes or produces dependency. In truth, there is always some way you can help others which also disempowers them. Completely ignoring the plight of another who is truly seeking your help is not the answer. For doing too little no more empowers the other than doing too much. To be of higher consciousness, you may not deliberately ignore the genius plight of a brother or sister claiming them to let them stew in their own juice. It is the highest gift you can give them. That attitude is righteousness and arrogance at the highest level. It merely allows you to justify your non-involvement. I refer you again to the life of Jesus and to his teaching. For it was Jesus who told you that God would say to those on his right, "Come, you blessed of my children, inherit the kingdom which God has prepared for you. For when I was hungry, you gave me meat to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was homeless, and you found me shelter. I was naked, and you clothed me. And you visit me. I was in prison, and you brought me comfort." And they will say to me, "Lord, when did you see you're hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you homeless and find you shelter, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you ill or in prison and comfort you?" And God will say then, replying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done to the least of these, my brethren, so have you done it to me." This is God's truth, and it shall stand for all the ages. Please know that God loves you. Please know that God loves you. Now, I want to just move on just a little bit, because most people hide the things they are ashamed of or don't want other people to know about. This is why the largest number of us all hide our sexualities, and that is why nearly all of us hide our money. That is to say, we are not open about it. We consider your money to be a private matter, and therein lies the problem. If everyone knew everything about everybody's money situation, there would be an uprising in the country and on the planet, the likes of which you have never seen. And in the aftermath of that, there would be fairness and equality, honesty and truth for the good of it all prioritized in the conduct of human affairs. It is not impossible to bring fairness or equality, honestly, or the common good to the marketplace, because money is so easy to hide. You can actually physically take it and hide it. There are also all manners of means by which creative accounts can cause corporation money to be hidden or to disappear. Since money can be hidden, there is no way for anyone to know exactly how much anyone else has or what they are doing with it. This makes it possible for a plethora of inequities, if not to say double dealings, to exist. Corporations can pay two people vastly different wages for doing the same job. For instance, they can pay one person $57,000 a year while paying the other $42,000 a year for performing the exact identical function, giving one member more than the other simply because the first employee has something the second employee does not have. And you might say something that the second employee does not have. And you might say, what is that? And I just want you to hold on because it's important. And the second thing that the first thing didn't have is a penis. And what I'm saying by that just is just the fact that because you're a man in the man's world, we have a tendency to pay the man more than the woman that is doing the exact same job. So it's our job. It's our job that we have to get out and start delivering this message of just who we are. Now, of course, you can't. I tell you this, nothing breeds fairness faster than visibility. Visibility is simply another word for truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And when you know it, then you've got to live it. When you begin to live it, then is when you let your light shine. Important that we let it so that people can see there's something different about that brother. It's something different about that sister. A lot of the things that we're going through, they seem to, I don't know if they think they're better than us or what, but they don't let it trouble them. Why do they not let it trouble them? Because they know who and whose there are. And so when you let your light shine, people see their light shining. And people want to bask in that glory. People want that type of light. It's not always about telling. It's about showing. I can tell you how to do things all I want, but if I can't show you some of this stuff, then all my talk is in vain. If I tell you, you got to treat people with love, but every time you see me, I'm being mean to other people, I'm not living the truth. The true truth. This is about simply being open and honest in your dealings with other. This is about simply telling the truth when you speak and about withholding no truth when you know it should be spoken. This is about never again lying or shading or verbally or mentally manipulating or twisting your truth into the hundreds and one other contortions which justify the largest number of human communication. This is about coming clean, telling it like it is, giving it to them straight. This is about ensuring that all individuals have all the data and know everything they need to know on the subject. This is about fairness, openness, and visibility. Yet, this does not mean that every single thought, every private fear, every darkest memory, every fleeting judgment, opinion, or reaction must be placed on the table for discussion and examination. This is not visibility. This is insanity. And it will make you crazy. We are talking here about simple, direct, straightforward, open, honest, complete communication. Yet, even at that, it is a striking concept and a little used one. I tell you, half the world's ill will go away tomorrow. Half the world's worries, half the world's conflict, half the world's anger, half the world's frustration. Oh, now, there would be anger and frustration at first. Make no mistake about it. When it was finally discovered just how much the average person is being played like a fiddle, used like a disposable condom, manipulated, lied to, and downright cheated, there would be plenty of frustration and anger. But visibility would clean most of that up within 60 days. Make it a go. Let me invite you again. Just think about it. Do you think you can live a life like this? No more secrets? Absolute visibility? If not, why not? What are you keeping from others that you don't want them to know? What are you saying to someone that isn't true? What are you not saying to someone that is? Has lying by omission or commission brought the world where you really want it to be? Has manipulation through silence and secrecy really benefited us? Is privacy really what makes our government, corporates, and individual lives work? What would happen if everybody could see everything? Now, there's an irony here. Don't you see that this is the one thing you fear about your first meeting with God? Don't you get that what you're being afraid of is that the gig is up, the game is over, the tap dance is finished, the shadow boxing is done, and the long, long trail of deceit, big and small, has come to quite literally a dead end. Yet, the good news is that there is no reason for fear, no cause to be scared. No one is going to judge you. No one is going to make you wrong. No one is going to throw you into the everlasting fires of hell. And to the Roman Catholics, you won't even go to purgatory. And to the Mormons, no, you won't be trapped forever in the lowest heavens, unable to get to the highest heavens. Nor will you be labeled sons and banished from the realm of unknown. And to you, well, now you get the picture. Each of us have constructed within the frameworks of your own particular theology some idea, some concept of God's worst punishment. And I hate to tell you this, because I see the fun you're having with the drama it's all of it all. There isn't no such thing. Perhaps when you lose the fear of having your life become totally visible at the moment of your death, you can get over the fear of having your life become totally visible while you're living it. Now, wouldn't that be something? So here's the formula to help you get started. Turn back. Review the five levels of truth-telling. Determine to memorize these models and implement it. Seek the truth. Say the truth. Live the truth every day. Do this and with yourself and with every person whose life you touch. Then get ready to be naked. Stand by for visibility. See, that feels scary. This feels real scary. Look to see what you are afraid of. If you're afraid everyone will leave the room, then you feel like you have to lie to get people to like you. Well, not lie exactly, just not telling them everything. Remember what I've said before. This is not about blurting out every little feeling, thought, idea, fear, memory, confession, or whatever. This is simply about speaking the truth, showing yourself completely with your dearest loved ones. You can be physically naked, can you not? Then why not be emotional naked as well? Now I say, oh, emotional, that's even harder. I understand that. That does not fail to recommend it. However, for the rewards are great. The rewards are great. We've got to live a life. We've got to live a life. Right now we're not living our life because we're so bound in fear and restrictions and regulations. So we're not being who we really are. it's important for us to understand these things, and it's important for us to understand how to have life and have it more abundantly, as Jesus spoke about. And when I say abundantly, we can't just automatically assume finances, because it's so much important that we have abundant love, abundant thoughts, abundant giving, caring. This is important for us. And as Jesus said, when you have these things, all other things will be added. We spoke many times about the be-do attitude, and it's important for us to start being. It's important for us to start being. Don't wait for the $1 million to be happy. Be happy now. If you're happy now, then when the $1 million come, then you know how to handle it. But if you're going to mope around and wait for the $1 million before you decide to be happy, you can never be happy. Because, as they've said, there's been many people that said, more money, more problems. So what we have to understand is money does not make us happy. You make your own self happy. And we've got to stop looking at the world the way that we do. We've got to stop thinking that everything that doesn't go exactly like we want it to go is bad. We have to see it from a different perspective, as it's not the outcome that I wanted, but it doesn't make it bad. Why? Because deep down inside, we know that all things are working together for your good. And when you start to have that outlook on thing, that it's truly working together for the good, you see things differently. You feel differently. You're able to have that everlasting joy. And this is one of the things that I speak about so much when I speak about religion. Religion teaches you these things, but they teach it to you with the fear on top of it. So you miss the whole aspect of what it is that God is really trying to say to you, because you're afraid. Even though it tells you that God is not giving you the spirit of fear, you still are afraid. And you have to understand that that was said for a reason. Why should you fear when you know who you have on your side? You know that you are connected. So if you know that you are connected, what is there? You're connected to the highest source, which is God. Why should you fear? Why should you be afraid? I know so many have a testimony that has said, he's never left me. He's never let me down. He's always been there for me. So if he's always been there for you and never let you down, what do you have to fear? Knowing that you have such an awesome God on your side. How can someone looking at you the wrong way make you mad? How can someone that says something that isn't truthful about you, how can that upset you? When you know that you know who it is that is on your side. I don't understand how we can just constantly, we like to talk about the definition of insanity. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Expecting a different result. And what we have to understand is that's what we're doing. God told us, do not fear. What do? We worry ourselves to death. And if you keep worrying, you're going to worry yourself to death. So you've tried that. So why don't you try what it is that God has, quote unquote, left on record for you. But our problem is what he's left on record, we're looking for in the books, or we're looking for man to tell us when God is talking to us daily. And this is why we need to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is why we need to go within. Because when you go within, you will not go without. And also, just to throw a little curveball to you, when you go within, you will go without. You will go without because those things that you go without is because you don't need them. But you've got to go within to truly understand this. And then I'll flip it right back. When you go within those things that you want, you can not go without. It's all up to you. You are the creator. And I know when I say that, people look at me and think that there is something just not right about that. And then I say to each and every one of you, just this day, what went on? How did it go? It is a day that you have created. Your life went today just as you created it to go. Some of us woke up this morning and didn't do one single thing. We created this day to do nothing. And tomorrow we'll wake up and create it to do whatever it is that we choose to do. And you do have that authority. You are creators. It was the gift given to you by God in the image and the likeness of Him. This is what you have. Amen, amen. I just truly thank each and every one of you for taking the time to stop by and listen to us tonight. But I just want us to start, we listen to the podcast, we go within. It's time for us to start believing. It's time for us to start living. Now, we've all tried all kinds of things, so now I'm asking you, try God. I'm not asking you to try no religion, no nothing. Try God. My uncles, the Southland Singers, they had a song, and it said, "Let Jesus lead you."
Yes, indeed.
Let Jesus lead you. So I'm saying, let the Spirit lead you. So before we start jumping out there with all kinds of this and that, let's go within and have a talk with God. I thank you all for tuning in tonight. I pray that something was said that was able to touch the Spirit within you, to give you that desire to want to know more, to live, to be the best you that you can be. So until next Thursday, 9 o'clock, I pray that you would live to be the best. Live to represent exactly who and whose you are. I love you all. Take care. And I'll talk to you again Thursday night. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.